Okay, again, I have to apologize for my very bad language skills. So I will try to make a good speech for you so you can understand. But as Peter had said, I am a student in Chicago, the Art Institute of Chicago, in a program for art and technology. And I also study sound there as well. And I have become interested in sound, the representation of sound, physically and emotionally as well. So in thinking of vibrations, from the colors of the sunrise and an orchestra playing on the radio, and from orbits of the planets to the beating of our own hearts, everything is in motion. And although we may perceive these phenomena with different senses, the laws governing their action or behavior are the same, the laws of vibration. Vibration, for a definition, is a periodic motion, having both amplitude and frequency. When an object vibrates, it transmits energy. This could be in the form of heat, of light, of sound. And resonance is the selective reception of this energy, of this vibrational energy. The frequency at which something vibrates or resonates is determined by the physical nature of the object. For example, a tuning fork in the room of a sound with the same frequency will begin to vibrate in sympathy with this sound. So in some ways, it is a form of communication, but maybe without intelligence. And I wonder how similar this interaction is with how we interact with ourselves and others. You know, does sort of the tuning of the mind determine what can be learned or understood in a period of time? Perhaps these cycles translate to much larger action throughout the world. So I became interested in the ideas of vibration and resonance through the work of a biologist, Arthur Winfrey, who studied the cycles of sleep and waking in organisms. These cycles are vibrations, in a sense. They are also periodic in nature. And inside of ourselves, there are many such cycles, somewhat like a harmonic of a fundamental life note, perhaps. These cycles have a simple nature alone, but together, these cycles can have very complex actions. So in order to study these cycles, these biological cycles, this biologist, Arthur Winfrey, created a machine called a firefly machine. It is a series of oscillators that use neon tubes, and they are connected together. A neon oscillator is a type of relaxation oscillator. A capacitor charges through a resistance, and when the voltage is high enough, the bulb will flash and produce a pulse of electricity. When many are connected together, one oscillator will give energy to its neighbors, And maybe not at first. The oscillators do not fire together, but over time, this interaction, they become to work as one. So I was interested in how something like this would sound. So I constructed some experiments with these types of oscillators, and just like this. And I changed the parameters of the circuit so that the oscillation is then audible. So you can see on the screen, it's just three oscillators, the neon lamps, and many wires. You know, but I have a sound sample. You can hear the collective sound of these oscillators. So let me play that for you. In that experiment, there were 10 oscillators, and it is possible to play the circuit by placing your fingers on the parts, so you can hear the frequency drop, and when one changes, the others want to follow it, and so you have these nice changes in pitch, you know. And I started to make forms from the circuits, I think to experiment with the visual aspect. And in the future, I hope to make a large-scale installation of a network of these oscillators, not only for the light component, but you know, the sound as well. Another experiment with neon tubes is what I call audion, is an audible light, in a sense. It is similar to the previous experiment, but the connection between the oscillators is not electronic. It is acoustic. And so each oscillator, which is made from vacuum tubes and a special neon vacuum tube lamps, there is a microphone input to the oscillator. The microphone captures the sound of the space, and then the oscillator will change its frequency based on what it hears through the microphone, and then outputs the sound. So when you have more than one of these objects in the space, and you tune them, you tune the frequency to be the same, the system becomes sensitive to changes. If you make a sound or how you move in the space, the sound will reflect or be absorbed from your body, and this changes the collective behavior of the circuits. So this is a schematic of the of one oscillator, and here is me in my studio making adjustments to one of the objects. But unfortunately, I don't have a sound sample or some video with me. But the objects hang from the ceiling, and you have the object here with the circuitry and the neon lamp, and the speaker hangs below, close to the floor. So getting away from these oscillators, I also have an interest in visualizing sound, how sound affects objects. And I'm making now some experiments with a glass ball. And with I put the water inside of the glass ball. The ball is suspended from the speaker. And in the room, you capture the sound, and to, to translate the sound to a very low frequency, so you cannot be able to hear it. And the ball will move, the water in the ball will move with the sound, and you have a projection of these patterns. And depending on frequency and complexity of the sound wave, you can achieve many different patterns. But the most interesting thing for me at this point in time is the radio. And I mean, the skies are full of electromagnetic waves, and we are surrounded by a world of sound just beyond our perception. And the radio enables us to select and translate these waves into sound. So in this manner, a radio is a resonator, like maybe this glass ball, but not of acoustic waves, but electromagnetic waves. And when we select the tuning of the radio, it vibrates with these waves, and we perceive speech or music or data. And in general, the tuning of a radio is done by the person listening. In considering the number of broadcasts every day, we are only listening to a very small portion. And there are many possibilities for sound outside of what we choose to listen to. So I am trying to work on a system by which the radio will tune itself. It becomes a generative system for audio collage. And in the recent past, I was making some experiments with radios that are tuned by the computer using motors and microcontrollers. This is a very early example using these motors. But now I have, I bought at Brocante a very beautiful Marconi radio with a tuning eye, the green spot in the middle. And as Lidwin was speaking about this morning, you know, about the long wires and the sound of long wires, for such a radio, I must use a very long wire to capture the broadcasts. And I'm using the antenna not only to capture the electromagnetic waves, but to also produce the sound and the inside, the lamps. So the antenna is connected to an amplifier. The resistance of the wire is about the same as a loudspeaker. So you can safely just connect the ends. And you can see I took a magnet from a hard drive, old hard drive. It's very strong. And you put the magnet close to the wire. And with the energy from the amplifier going through, the wire will vibrate and produce the sound. And also connected is a contact microphone to take the sound. And then the computer will make a decision based on the frequencies where to tune. So you can leave the radio and it just makes a nice sound for you, a nice composition. But I made some tests. I have another sound recording. We have the antenna listening to the FM band. So that is the sound of the antenna with our normal FM broadcast. I also have a short one with the shortwave. It's much more of a drone. It's very nice. And that's about it, really. So.